If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." We have started to talk about the prosperity gospel, which is a word that a lot of people have used mockingly. Yeah, there are people, they believe in prosperity. Well, we do believe in prosperity. And the problem with all this is, and we looked at that last time, is you can take it into an extreme. Especially when you talk about money, because that's the area we're focusing on right now. When you talk about financial prosperity, material prosperity, you can just really, really take it to an extreme. And it's destructive. It will lead you to a place where you do not want to be. And you know, we'll look at that today. But I said last time that when we start to look at it, when I teach about it, it is important for me that we approach it from the right angle. It is very important for me that we approach it from the right angle because there are these two extremes. There are people who believe, well, prosperity, that has nothing to do with our lives. It just, and if the Bible talks about prosperity or well-being, well, that's all spiritual. Well, 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health." Now, all things, I don't know about you, but that includes all things. And we said the prayer, or you know, some translations say, "I desire that you may prosper." The desire, the prayer to prosper in all things is biblical. It is godly. It is okay. It is nothing to be ashamed about. It is nothing that is weird and that's just us. And no, I mean, who in their right mind wouldn't want that? Right? So it's biblical. It's okay. So everybody just take a deep breath. You know, that's fine. It's just the place it takes in our lives sometimes and the way we pursue it, that's usually where we miss it. And there are these two extremes, people that act like the Bible says nothing about it and people that act like the only thing that the Bible says is how to become a millionaire in the next 2 years. And both is wrong. It takes at least 4 years. I'm just kidding. But you know, there are these extremes. And you know, we said, we believe, the Bible does say that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. The Bible does say that when Jesus came, he came to give us life and life in abundance. And that is why we call it the prosperity gospel. What Jesus did on the cross, the good news of Jesus Christ has an effect on every area of our life. And yes, that includes finances. And that is why we have no problem, and we're not ashamed to say, well, we believe in the prosperity gospel. It's just we really need to make sure to stay with what God's word says about it, and not what we hope it says about it, or maybe even what our favorite preacher on TV says about it. We really have to look, you know, what does God say about all this? So, we said last time in Proverbs 4:23, we saw that the Bible says, above all else, or, you know, with all diligence, keep your heart, guard your heart. So there are a couple of things when you talk about them. It is really important to emphasize this again, that whatever we do, we need to make sure that we guard and protect our heart. And especially in the area of finances, and we're going to go into that today a little bit, when we talk about money and finances, and because that's what we do. We focus on something right now in the service that is not supposed to be the focus of our lives. So when you focus on it in a conference or because you read a book or you're in a service or your favorite preacher has like a 30-part series on finances, you know, you very quickly get into this idea that, oh, that's all the Bible talks about. Wow, you know, it's all about money and it's about God wanting to bless me, you know, material things. You know, this is what it's about. Well, it's not. Our focus on life should never be about that. But we focus on it right now. And we will focus on it some more. And I said last time, maybe you don't understand what the big deal is. But my deal is, I believe God wants you to be blessed in such a ridiculous way that people will look at you and their head is spinning. I believe God wants to use you in the grace of giving and in the grace of blessing somebody else in ways that other people will just look at you and say, okay, there must be some kind of God involved, because otherwise that is not possible. I believe God wants to do that. But before you preach stuff like that, I think it's very important we guard our heart and we see what is the purpose of it. You know, why do we really do this? So we called this, you know, last time, and we'll finish it this time, in the name of Jesus. We call it, you know, prosperity and our heart. And I said there are four things I want to talk about. Four things that help us to keep our heart humble, right? We said last time, humility is protection from deception. To keep our heart humble and to guard our heart in this area. Four things. The first thing we looked at was the fact that we serve God. We serve God. And we started to look at Matthew chapter 6, and let's go there and continue just really quickly with that point, because we have three more points to get to. So Matthew chapter 6, and we started reading in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, and we start reading in verse 19. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So you can tell how important it is in this area of finances to protect our heart, to guard our heart, because the area of finances affects our heart. Jesus said it. You can find it in the Old Testament. When your heart is in money, it will always lead to destruction. So we don't want to make that mistake. But then people take it to the other extreme. Well, you know, didn't Jesus say, lay not up for yourselves treasures, you know, on earth, so you can't have anything. They hear this, do not have treasures, and in their mind, it means do not own anything. Do not have property. Do not own property. Do not have any material wealth. And we said, now, the point here, actually, and it's even more clear in the Greek, the point is, you can have it, but it's not supposed to have you. Right? Literally in the Greek, it says, do not treasure for yourselves treasures on earth. It's not our treasure. Money is a tool. Money is nice. Money is needed. But it is not our treasure. It is not our precious. And everything we do in life is just geared toward this one thing. It's not. And we say we need to make sure that, you know, we serve God. And where that point comes from is when you read on. In Matthew 6, Jesus said in verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And that is just an Aramaic word for money or material wealth. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and material wealth. By the way, this whole thing, this whole picture he paints here about your eye and the body, that is actually a Jewish idiom again. A bad eye, you know, in Jewish, in the Hebrew, actually it was a word picture for somebody that is stingy. For somebody that just holds on to their money and that is not willing to give anything away, that is not willing to meet anyone else's need, that just keeps things to themselves, and somebody who has a single eye or a good eye that was called a generous one, a generous eye. There are some Bible translations even that you find, you know, that's how they translated it to make sure that we understand that word picture. But Jesus, you know, he just keeps talking about, you know, you can have it. You should, because how can you give it if you don't have it, right? So that's not the point. The point is, it's not about you keeping it all the time, and this is where the devil got us. There are some people, they hate the idea of prosperity because for some reason, the devil convinced them that you need to keep it all. Who said that? Why would I want to keep it all? Because the more I sow, just saying. But you know, so this is our idea. Jesus said, no. You know, there is a right way to look at it. There's a wrong way to look at it. He said, but you make sure you know you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and possessions. It is either or. And we want to make sure to protect our heart and to protect our lives that we serve God. I'm not going to put Ananias and Sapphira on you right now, but, you know, money and heart so closely connected, we need to make sure we serve God. All right? So that was point number one. Point number two is we trust God. We don't trust in money. We trust God. And if you keep reading in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore, Jesus says, I say to you, take no thought for your life, or do not worry for your life, that what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? I'm sorry, I love animals too, but you are better than them. Which of you, by taking thought, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And why do you worry for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or, you know, what shall we be clothed with? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But, and here's what we're supposed to do, seek you first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and do not worry. I kind of, if you know me a little bit, I kind of adopted Jesus' teaching style. And I know it's horrible, but I usually start with all the things that we shouldn't do and then the things the Bible says we should do. When I talk about a certain subject, I usually start with what it's not and then I say what it is. It's kind of, you know, I adopted this, so I really like Jesus here. But he keeps saying, you know, don't worry. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. He says it all kinds of different ways. You know, just make sure you don't worry. But what are we supposed to do? Seek his kingdom. And we trust, you know, we seek our kingdom, even with his kingdom, even with our finances. And we trust that we have a good and a generous king that will provide for us. That's the way it works. Because it says, you seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. They won't be taken from you. They will be added to you. And that is true for every area of your life. Whenever, this is a broad statement, I know, but you know, just take it, chew on it for a while and say, Lord, is there something you want to tell me? Whenever people tell me, I cannot be involved in anything in church because it would take too much precious time away from family or other things. I mean, what pastor would say, no, come on, let's take time away from your family? You know, no pastor would do that. Pastors, no, oh, I don't want to. I'm sorry that I butt into your family life. You know, that wasn't my intention. But it basically all comes down to this. Did Jesus lie or did he tell the truth? Because whatever you see, whenever you seek his kingdom first, it says it will be added to you, not taken from you. So, I know that was a broad statement. I know there are different situations that people are in, different stages in life. I understand. But usually when people say things like that, I just need more time with my family, they mean I need more time on the couch. If you're really honest, I would like to spend my Sunday afternoon with my family. And what you actually mean is, right? So, just saying. How do you know, Alex? I'm not going to tell you. But what worrying is going to do, worrying will lead you to take your eyes off the center of your attention, off of Jesus, off the kingdom of God, off the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And worrying will focus your mind, your attention on all these other things. Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry, just keep your focus on this one thing. Just seek this one thing. Seek the King, seek His kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. So, number one, we serve God. Number two, we trust God. We do not seek riches. And this is a key. We do not seek riches. Do we believe God wants us to be rich? Do we believe God wants us to be abundantly supplied? Yes, we do. But how do we get there? Not by seeking after it. Not by going after it. Not by using our wisdom and our strength to somehow accumulate it. Then, I mean, those people who just determine, I will get rich. I will do everything I can to get rich. Most of these people succeed. They are able to live in a certain level of financial prosperity if they are really willing to do whatever it takes to get rich. And their life is a mess. It's a mess. They get there, but that's never the way God intended it to be. Riches were never something to seek after or to pursue. It is something that is added unto you as you seek first the kingdom of God. Huge principle. So we serve God, we trust God. The third point is we love God. We love God, not money. And let's turn, even if it's going to hurt a little bit, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I recommend that you read the whole chapter at home. Because what it is, it talks about finances. It has some great warnings, some great promises in there. But it also is a wonderful plea by the Apostle Paul for Timothy to guard his heart and to teach others to guard their heart, to stay healthy when it comes to the area of finances and of material blessings. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. It says, but they that will be rich, they that want to be rich, whose desire in life, I just want to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare or a trap and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And I don't care how saved you are. This is for you. This is for us. If we start to follow after money, if we start to pursue it in our lives, make it the center of our attention, it will lead us into destruction. It will destroy you. Money will destroy you if you do not guard your heart. And that is why this is so important for me. I know what I'm about to preach. I know what we're going to look at. I know what God would like to do in our lives. I know what His plans are in this area. And I know there are dangers. And like I said last time, there are some people, they act like all the Bible does is warn you. Ooh, just don't even touch money. Don't even look at it. And other people believe these warnings are not even in the Bible. The way some preachers preach, you're saying like, you do know that these things are in the Bible, right? That there are dangers connected with it. That you are aware of that, right? But if not, let's read on. The next verse, verse 10, it says, for the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you ever had the question, Is it possible to believe in Jesus, to have faith, to believe, and to somehow err away from it, to somehow be led astray, to somehow leave that? Is that possible? Yes, it is. If you love money. Money is not the problem. The love of money is the problem. I personally believe you can add anything in here because it's the love of anything. If you don't love God, if you don't trust God, if you don't serve God, no matter what it is, it can be women, it can be men, it can be drinking, it can be partying, it can be clothes, it can be shoes. Jesus said, if you just worry about what you wear, you will not take care of the kingdom of God. You will not take care of kingdom business, right? So everything else that you love more or above and beyond how you love God and Jesus, well, it's not good for us. But here, I mean, these words are clear, aren't they? Man, love of God, love of money is the root of all evil. Some coveted it, but they have wandered from the faith. It's what my footnote says that word means. They have wandered from the faith. Sounds to me almost like they didn't notice. You know, it just happens. Why? Wrong focus. You made a decision. Oh, it's a decision. You know, it doesn't happen. You don't have to worry. You don't have to. If you sit here and worry that you've done it, you haven't done it. Okay? No problem. But, you know, if you just, there was a point in your life, not in yours, just generally, somebody else's church, you know, there was a point in their life, you know, where they just decided to focus on the wrong thing. It was a decision they made. But that decision led to some other things, and in the end, the Bible says it will end up in destruction. And that is not what we want to do. We want to keep our heart. And if this is a warning in the New Testament, you know, this good news part of the Bible, well, then we better take heed. Then we better listen to it, and I don't care who you are, you cannot theologize that away. You cannot, well, you know, Jesus was just talking to the Jews. No, this was Paul, the apostle of grace, the apostle of the new covenant, speaking to his closest disciple, and he says, never, ever, ever, and keep warning other people about it. This will cause you to end up in destruction. So, moving on. So we want to make sure, you know, that we serve God, that we trust God, that we love God. We don't love money. But we also want to make sure, and this is point number four, this is the last point, that we thank God. We live a life that is filled with gratefulness. And let's just read on here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded or conceited, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So we, you know, it says here, you know, those who are rich in this world, and there will always be, did you know that? There will always be people richer than you. Did you know that? I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. I don't care who's listening to this. I don't care how rich. There will always be people that are richer. And even if for a while, let's say you're the richest man or the richest woman on earth, all it takes is, I don't know, one tweet from the American president and your stocks go down. You know, I don't know. You know, it's just, you know, one little thing and you know, stuff's going to happen and there you go. And somebody else is going to be richer than you. You know, things change in this world. We don't trust anything, you know, in this world above God and above, you know, what he is doing in our lives. We trust him. We serve him. We love him. But then also, if we have it, if we are rich in it, if we are already enjoying these blessings, we make sure that we thank him because he was the one who richly gave it. And he gave it for us to enjoy. Last time, you know, I don't know what you felt when I said it. Last time I said, can you raise your hand and say, thank God I enjoy money. You know, and we say, you know, thank God I enjoy money. Do I have to? Well, it's a biblical statement. It is God who gives, it is God who richly gives, and it is God who richly gives to enjoy. It's okay if you don't serve it, if you don't trust in it, if you don't love it, if you love God, if you trust God, if you serve God, then you can just raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because I have something to enjoy, and I have something that I can give, the Bible says. I am willing to share. You're not willing to share if you treasure it as your treasure. You're not willing to share when you love it. I love my wife. I will not share her with you. I love food. I will not... No, I'm just sorry. No, I don't love... Sorry, Lord. I'm just going to move a little bit, you know, in case there's some lightning coming. Just kidding. Nah, that's not what he's going to do. But, you know, and then it says here to make sure that financial prosperity is nothing to be arrogant about. It is nothing to be conceited about, nothing to be high-minded. Why? Because it is God who gives the increase. Sure, you might have scattered. Sure, you might have watered. But what does the Bible say, 1 Corinthians 3? It is God that gives the increase. So all these people, oh, and man, I sowed here, and I sowed there, and I, man, and oh, wow, I watered my seed here, and look how I live. Well, let's talk in a couple of years. That attitude is not going to keep you where you are. Why? Because, man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing this in my life. Thank you for giving this to me. Thank you for blessing me with this. I know you have a plan for it. Part of your plan is that I can enjoy it. And that I have something to give to other people. And this is great. We serve a good God. We serve a God that is good, and he wants us to taste and see that he is good. At the same time, he wants to make sure that he is our source. We don't look to money as our source. We don't even look to other people as our source. He might use money. He might use other people, but God is our source. So we want to make sure, just to recap really quickly, we serve God. We don't serve money because it is impossible to serve mammon and God at the same time. You will despise, you will hate one to serve the other. So we don't love money. It is biblically to say you hate money. In the sense of that you love it less. In the sense of that for God's sake you're willing to keep it away. In the sense of that even if you didn't have it, you would still be happy and content with Jesus. In that sense, you could say, I hate money, I despise it. It is a tool. But then also the Bible says, and this is the balance that we see, that when you have it, you can say, Father, I don't love money, but boy, do I love you for giving me some. It is biblical. It is a biblical thing to say, and we have to find the balance. It's not, we hate money, we hate money. No, we don't love money, that's true. We love God. But he is the one who richly gives us all things to enjoy. We serve God. We trust God. We don't trust in, not even in ourselves, frankly. Different sermon. We love God. We love him, right? He's good. He's good to us. And whatever need we have, he wants to provide. He is our provider. Amen? He is good. He is wonderful. All right. And we thank God. You know, whatever good there is in our life, we thank God for it. Well, why do I have to thank God? I worked hard for this, you know, all week. Well, why don't you read Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 18 when you're at home? You know, God promised the people of Israel all these wonderful blessings. And he said, well, when you come into that land and when you live in that kind of prosperity and all the things that you worked for, and they had to work for some, they had to fight, they had to work. People died in the process. But then he said, you make sure that you do not forget that it was the Lord your God that gives you the strength to accumulate that wealth. It is God who gives you the power to get wealth. Well, praise God, he gives you the power to get wealth. But it is God. It is him. So we love him, we serve him, we trust him, we thank him, we seek his kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and let's praise him. The words we just sang, they include, they in a nutshell, they give you the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you have never put your faith in Jesus, let me just use this to preach it to you real quick. It says, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says that he was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that he took your sin, my sin, on himself. He took the punishment. He took the penalty. He took the thing that the Bible says is a separation between you and God. What makes it impossible for you to ever come to God in your own strength, He took it away. The Bible says that Jesus died so your sin can be forgiven. And we said hallelujah to the risen Lord. He didn't stop there. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He rose again and He said, I live, and because I live, you shall live also. So He wants to give you a new life. The Bible calls it being born again. It's almost like a second birthday, and who doesn't like birthdays? It's like He wants to give you a new life, but this time not in your own strength, not your own ideas, not your own goals. God breaking in, changing everything for the better. And then we said hallelujah to the King of Kings. The Bible does say that He will come one day and He will be the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. So He is our soon coming King. He will come soon. The question is, are you ready? Are your sins forgiven? No matter what happens, you don't know what happens. You know, when you walk out of the store, you cross the street, you don't know what happens. If you stood before God this afternoon, what would He say to you? Well, the Bible says that sin creates a separation between you and Him. He came, sent His Son Jesus to take it away. So you can stand before Him and say, thank you so much that Jesus died for me on the cross. Thank you so much that you saved me. Can you say that when you stand before Him? If not, then we have an invitation for you. We'll close the service in, we closed it 2 minutes ago. And we just would like to, don't look on your watch when I say that. We just would like to invite you. We'll have a team up here. We would love to pray with you. If you need some special time, we have a little corner, prayer corner for you. You can talk. We would love to answer your questions. If you have any other prayer request, if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll have a team up here that would love to minister to you. So take advantage of that. But this is our invitation. If you don't know that you're saved, you can leave this place knowing. And you're not coming to a church. You're not becoming a member of a church or an organization. You will meet a living, risen Savior. And it's the best decision that you have ever made. So this invitation stands. Well, praise the Lord. We have a great week coming up. God bless you. Have a prosperous, overflowing week. Amen. Serve Him. Trust Him. Love Him. Thank Him. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and see you Friday and or Sunday.